Hear these words from St. John's first letter, chapter 2. Therefore, let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. And now, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Dear friends who are, by grace, abiding in Jesus through faith, hold on tightly to Jesus as you walk through this dangerous world unto your great gift of heaven that has been promised you. That, in a nutshell, is the message of our text today, and for that matter, it's the message of the texts that we've heard for the last 4 days. Hold on to Jesus. By nature, we hold on to things that are not related to our eternal life as we push aside the things that are really needful. And the devil knows that inclination. Do you know how to catch a monkey, a wild monkey? It's quite easy, I'm told. You create something, a piece of wood, box, just big enough to get the monkey's hand through. Put a peanut inside or a little piece of candy. He'll reach in, clench his fist and hold on for dear life and can't get his hand out, of course. And I'm told you could walk up and bop him on the head and have him for lunch if you want to. We are sometimes those monkeys, and the devil knows how to pull our chains. Sunday after church, I talked to a former policeman, and part of his job was to go to accidents after terrible car accidents had happened. He related an incident where a drunk going 60 to 70 miles an hour had a head-on collision. He came to the car. The man was dead as could be, of course, but firmly in his right hand was his container that held his booze. Even rigor mortis couldn't get rid of that cup, holding on for dear life or dear death in this case. So the devil knows our inclination. We walk through danger all the way, and that's why John in our text urges us, let abide in you what you've heard from the beginning. If what you have heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and the Father. In other words, hold on tightly to Jesus as you walk through this dangerous world to accept your gift of heaven through him. John is writing from the city of Ephesus, and according to reliable information, very early information, John spent the last 3 decades of his life there. And he also took Jesus' mother Mary there and took care of her. You remember the incident at the cross where, behold your son, behold your mother, and John is carrying out that commission to take care of his mother Mary, Jesus' mother Mary, at Ephesus. So that's where he's writing our text from, and he's also writing to the people of Ephesus and the surrounding area in modern-day Turkey, on the west coast of modern-day Turkey. There were many temptations in Ephesus. John got around town. He walked the streets of Ephesus. He knew all the sights. There was the Temple of Diana. It was one of the 7 wonders of the world. And wouldn't you want to be associated with the Temple of Diana that the world came to see? And furthermore, that great wonder had many, many prostitutes. And you could combine your religion with sex with a prostitute. Wouldn't that be just great for our human nature? Wouldn't that be something to hold on to? So a great temptation for many also of the Christians at Ephesus. And there was, in close proximity, a library, the famous Library of Celsus. There was a brothel right close by, and a bathhouse. And our guide told us that it was easy for the citizens of Ephesus to tell your spouse you're going to the library. And you read it for 5 minutes, maybe from a little scroll, and then you would follow the path to the brothel. Etched in the pavement to this day are footprints leading you straight to it. And then you could go to the bathhouse and wash any perfume off, and then you could go home and say, "Honey, I'm home from the library, and I took a bath on the way home also." Temptations of the city of Ephesus. But also within the church at Ephesus, there were greater temptations. Right inside the church, a man by the name of Cerinthus was peddling a view of Christ which was contrary to John's doctrine, Paul's doctrine, the whole doctrine of Scripture. Cerinthus said that there was, yes, this man from Nazareth, his name was Jesus, and sometime after his baptism, the Christ Spirit came onto him. But then that Christ Spirit left a couple of years later before Jesus was crucified on the cross. So what was Cerinthus peddling? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, did not cleanse people from their sins, because the blood shed on the cross was just the blood of an ordinary man. Of course, John was teaching otherwise. Jesus is the God-man. From eternity he existed, but then born of a Virgin Mary. In the one person, Jesus Christ, is God and man. And that's why you are cleansed today, because that holy, precious blood of the Son of God has cleansed you and made you reconciled to God, at peace with your Heavenly Father today. You are in the Son and in the Father and on your way to eternal life. So John urges us, hold on to the historical Jesus, the real Jesus, the Jesus of Scripture, the Jesus revealed, and cling tightly to it, because there are many temptations around you. There will be many temptations to hold on to the things of this world, and you know what your temptations are, the things you like to hold on to and that keep you from meditating on the word of Jesus and culturing a rich prayer life. Hold on to your Savior as you walk through this dangerous world. Why? Because the gift of heaven is there for you. And not to hold on to Jesus is to forfeit the gift of heaven. Cling to him firmly. About 2 years ago, a group of Bethany students was walking the streets of Ephesus, just as John did. And we walked past that library, and yes, past that place where the brothel was, and so forth. And then we settled just outside the big theater that holds 25,000 people, mentioned in the book of Acts. And it was time for our devotion, and a seminary student was to lead the devotion. So he sat us down on some nice marble works there, and he began his devotion this way. "You know what you're sitting on? You're sitting on marble," he said. "So don't take it for granted." And that's the encouragement of our text. Don't take for granted the truth of God. Cling to the truth of the revelation of Scripture. Hold on tightly to your Savior. Let us arise and pray. Dear Lord, on our walk through this world, you have brought us safely through the first part of this day. Stay with us now. Lead us to cling firmly to you for our comfort and your protection. And cause us to be a help and a blessing to the people around us today. Through Jesus, our Savior, our brother and friend. Amen.